This meeting of the Legislative Council to order. Today is June 16th, 2021. It is 2:24 p.m. Ms. Kissel, can you please call the roll?
Representative Clayman. Representative Edgman. Here. Representative Foster.
Here.
Speaker Stutes.
Here.
Representative Tilton.
Here.
Representative Tuck.
Here.
Senator Bishop.
Present.
Senate President Michicki. Senator Hoffman. Senator Hughes. Senator Schauer. Senator Stedman.
Here.
Senator Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Here.
Chair Hannon.
Here.
We have 10 members present.
We have a quorum to conduct business. Vice Chair Reinbold, do you have a motion?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council approve the agenda as presented.
No objections, no changes. Our first action item after that is ratification of sanctioned charitable events. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion?
I do. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council ratify the Chair's sanctioning of the following charitable events per AS24.60.080A2B. A is Kenai River Junior Classic, August 11th, 2021. The Ted Stevens Kenai River Classic, August 19th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, 2021. And the Kenai River Women's Classic, September 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2021.
And I'm going to object for purposes of discussion. And I want to make sure that members know that the sanctioned events, I've previously sanctioned them. We've verified their 501c3 status. Is there any discussion or objection to the motion? Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm just kind of curious what the costs are for the entry fee that would be paid for the elected officials in these three items.
I do not recall.
Can I make a statement?
Senator Reinbold.
Well, I will tell you, I have attended them in the past, and we have to submit a finding of exactly how much we spend, and we have to put it on our disclosure forms. It all depends on what you receive. If you receive the basket, if you go fishing one day, if you go fishing 2 days, I mean, it's all, if you have a guest with you, it's veritable. I think mine was around $400, but I can't remember. You know, the one half a day that I went, but I can't remember.
Senator?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think possibly for the future meetings, it'd be nice to see the dollar amounts that would be typical, even if it's, you know, some kind of entertainment play or whatever it is. So we have an idea what kind of value is being offered to the elected officials at the committee.
I'll do that for next year, presuming I'm still chairing. I know that this is an event that's been going for a number of years. I'm not sure if their prices change from year to year, but I'll make sure and include those next year. Senator Bishop,
you're
seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just along the same line as Senator Stedman, in the future, if they could, it would be interesting to see how much the dispersion is for these nonprofits, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, et cetera, the Habitat for Carissa and others. I'd like to see a breakdown of how that money is allocated to these nonprofits. Thanks.
Okay. So, Senator, let me just clarify so I understand for staff direction, because I don't think currently that our sanctioning of charitable events requires a follow-up report from that 501c3 to report back to us with their spending. We do the sanctioning on the front end as opposed to any report in the back end. Ms. Geary, can you correct us and make sure that I am accurate in my understanding?
Chair Hannon, for the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director, Legislative Affairs, you are correct. There is no reporting back to the agency on events that Legislative Council has sanctioned or ratified. It's a separate transaction outside of the legislature.
Senator Reinbold.
I just wanted to say, if we did it for this, we would have to do it for all of them, including skits, which is one that I really struggle with. I know we didn't sanction it this year, but if it's, you know, for one, we've got to do it for all of them.
Any more discussion? Well, I'm going to remove my objection, and that will mean that those events have been ratified for 2021. The next item before us is committee business. Amendment to the COVID-19 policy and public access to legislative facilities. Senator Reinbold.
Yes, I, as you know, I have questions in regards to this and concerns, but right now I move. I move that Legislative Council adopt the COVID-19 mitigation policy dated May 14th, 2021, amended June 15th, 2021. And I'd also...
So stop at the end of the motion, and then we'll... I'll object for discussion.
Perfect.
And then I'll call on you. So I've objected to the motion. It's open for discussion. I'll give you the floor.
Okay, so I think we're obviously moving in a good direction. We were able to not be forced to wear face coverings, which was great. Where my question is so everybody should see that there's a policy that was adopted on May 14th. So that was the policy we adopted a month ago. And then what this policy before us that I'm going to be discussing is Legislative Council mitigation policy adopted May 14th, 2021, and then it says amended June 15th, 2021, just so all of us can be on the same page. It's under 1, Section 2, where it says unvaccinated individuals are strongly encouraged to wear a mask in any public setting. So that's pretty much our most of our lives. And it says, if a person declines to wear a face covering because of a medical condition, disability, this policy does not require proof in the form of medical documentation. That's where it used to end. Now it says, as of May 14th, legislators and legislative employees must work through the confidential ADA accommodation process with personnel. So I just want to make sure that I'm not misinterpreting this in any way. Where I was concerned that it could be interpreted that if a person, this could be the public, this could be a legislator or anybody that is unvaccinated, chooses to not wear a face covering, that this may have some, you know, requirements to have to go through an ADA process. So I just want that clarified, Chair Hannon.
Ms. Geary, can you address the policy and specifically that one section?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, that particular section is supposed to go with 1, an individual legislative office or agency may require masks be worn during the delivery of in-person services, and if, because we'll not be asking for vaccination status, there's that statement in there, you're encouraged. If there were a situation where somebody wanted a mask in their office and they had somebody come in that refuse to wear a mask, that is what this is referencing, that you don't have to show your medical documentation. If you're an employee, you're supposed to go through the ADA process. The public does not go through the ADA process. So I think that would be an individual decision for that office to make at that time.
Senator? Okay, so the public does not have to go through this, whether they're vaccinated or not. We're not going to segregate anybody based on that. And then this would only apply if you are going into somebody's office that is requiring a face covering, if I heard you correctly. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, that is correct.
Thank you.
And before we go, before I take anybody else, just a little housekeeping, and I'm going to ask Senator Reinbold, we did not amend the script, and so we have the wrong date. We've amended the policy because we lost a day yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So if you could restate the motion and use June 16th.
I absolutely will. I move that the Legislative Council adopt the COVID-19 mitigation policy dated May 14th, 2021, amended June 16th, 2021, with the recommendations and suggestions and advice that we just heard from.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question would be that who makes decisions in the individual LIOs located in each community?
Ms. Geary, go ahead.
through the chair, Representative Tilton, the discretion for the LIOs is currently at, it's sort of a multi-pronged approach. So whatever we pass in this committee today will also apply to the LIOs. But if there were an outbreak or a building closure, those individual LIO officers do have some latitude for making those decisions. The intent is that they'll be fully open to the public as before. But there could be a situation where a particular LIO would have to be handled just slightly differently. So that would be in consultation with myself and with the chair.
You have a follow-up?
Yeah, follow-up, please. So what I'm hearing you say is that the policies overall falls back to the policy here, and the individual LIOs on a case-by-case basis, very rarely should there be some different situation that occur that they would have to come back through executive director, and I'm sorry, I missed who else they would be coming back through to.
That would be the chair of Ledge Council.
And the chair of Ledge Council. And then would there be some kind of notification that would go out to the individuals who reside within that LIO?
Through the chair, Representative Tilton, that is the intent, that there would be signage or an email that would go out that the LIO officer would send notifying of the closure.
Thank you. And then I have another question here.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And this is probably very obvious, but I just want to make sure, is this policy here, we're talking about all legislative facilities opening to the public, this does include the Capitol as well?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to have that on the record to make sure that we weren't just discussing the LIOs. Thank you.
Anyone else? Senator Reinbold.
Thank you. So we're talking about the whole page of policy here, and before I move on to number four, I want to just get on the record that I believe there's been around 70 or 80,000 people who have actually had COVID that you know, they've showed the vaccination does not do any additional benefit. I do not want to violate any civil rights. I do not want to violate any HIPAA laws. I do not want any part of the mask policy reversed, and I don't want people segregated like what's happening in the stores right now where people are being, like in Costco and Fred Meyer and things like that. People are being, even at camps right now, it's outrageous personally, even people are being in.
Senator, please keep your comments to our policy.
Bottom line is I really want to make sure that does not happen. I want to get on the record that because of so many people that have had COVID, even they believe before that the test was available, in addition, doctor's diagnosis, in addition to the T-cell test, which I'm actually getting next week, it's a T-cell immunity test that's now been approved by the CDC, in addition to antigen tests, that there's a lot of people with the natural immunity to COVID, and there's really no sense in them taking that. So I really want to make sure that in future that is also, you know, comprehensive natural immunity is a very important, good, long-lasting. That's Cleveland Clinic, and also the Washington University have put out some excellent information in regards to that.
Any more questions about our policy? Senator Bishop.
I might not be seen, and so, Madam Chair, what's the shelf life of this policy?
I believe once we institute the policy, it's our policy until we amend our policy.
That's correct.
Senator Stevens.
Well, that's true, Madam Chair. There are policies that go back years and years and years that are still in effect, and they stay in effect even though they were passed years ago and still are until they're changed.
All right.
One more.
Senator Reinbold.
Thank you. I apologize. I forgot to jump down to four, the positive close contact. Sometimes we don't know if we're in close contact or not. And so when it says the legislature will follow CDC guidance, I mean, obviously it changes a lot for individuals who test positive and are in close contact. We're going to do the best of our ability. Sometimes it's not perfect. So I just think when it says the legislature will follow CDC guidance, which is changing its guidance, you know, I just think that needs to be gotten on record in regards to that. It may not be perfect, but people can, you know, try to follow the guidance. but must and try, I think is, I don't know if we want to amend that to will to may or try, you know, but that's just something that, that may become an issue at a later time.
Anyone else? Senator, Representative Tilton.
Do you like to go first, Senator Stevens?
I've called on you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We were about the same time, so I do have the, I do have some concern. I know that the CDC guidelines, and there were some challenges in following, not necessarily challenges, but there, there was a lot of, maybe I should rephrase it. There was some complications with the way some things were being, that people felt differences of opinion of what guidelines should be followed or how they are being followed at certain time periods during the quarantines that happened previously. And I'm just wondering how do we take care of that? Because I think that that's, you know, we don't want to get into that same challenge that we were in before. And so I think when we have the word will, we're really committing ourselves that we will follow whatever the CDC puts out. And I'm just wondering about having the leeway to be able to deal with those situations.
Through the chair, Representative Tilton, I think one of the big differences is during session we had a contractor that was responsible for ensuring CDC current guidance was being followed. After this special session, we no longer have a contractor, so it'll be personal responsibility for each individual to work through public health and whatever means they choose to. So I think it's just good practice to say the legislature will follow CDC guidance, but there's nothing in this policy, there's no consequence, there's no follow-up. So does that answer your question?
It helps with the question. Okay. Thank you.
Senator Stedman. Was it you that you, oh, Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I just want to say we all knew this day was coming. It's been a long time, and in the protecting of this building and the protecting of legislators and our staff, I want to thank Jessica and her staff for really doing a tremendous job. We have had very limited exposure in this building. We should be very, very proud of it. I don't know where we are, maybe 80% vaccinated at this point, and so we've done a great job to this point. But I would like to know specifically what happens now. Now we are open to the public. If this passes, the building is open. Lobbyists and public are welcome into the building as they were before. What is the impact on our contract with Beacon? Does that mean, I think you've implied that there will no longer be anybody from Beacon here in our building? Help me to understand that, if you would, Jessica.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, our contract with Beacon ends June 30th, and we've asked them to stick around for next week after the special session adjourns so that those who are traveling back to Canada can get their pre-travel testing and that type of thing. But that will be, it'll be a very limited basis. I think maybe one staff just strictly doing testing. So, you do bring up a good point, but I think this committee would need to make the decision whether they want to extend any sort of testing to the public. Right now, that's not being contemplated.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Jessica. Well, well done.
Anyone else? Otherwise, I'm going to Representative Tilton.
Thank you for the opportunity to ask another question. So Jessica, the contract is ended, and that means that if we have a second special session, which we already have on the call, there will not be Beacon employees here during that time frame unless there is a change made by the Legislative Council.
Through the chair, Representative Tilton, that is correct. There will be no longer a contract with Beacon. If this committee wanted to contract with Beacon again, that would be up to this committee, and we'd probably recommend doing an RFP or something along those lines. So that's also not up for discussion at this moment.
And just to follow up, I just do want to say thank you for the work on this, because this has been a day that I look forward to. I was, you know, hoping we would get to this day sooner and have Alaska's capital open to Alaskans, but I am very pleased that this day is here and that we will be opening the Capitol building.
And Ms. Geary, just it's not directly spelled out in our policy, but the key fobs that staff and legislators have been shut down, so they only work at two entrances. When this policy is amended, it's my understanding that the key fobs will then once again work for entrance and egress to the building.
Chair Hannon, we will gladly let maintenance know that they can reactivate everyone's key cards. And we'll send out a notice to the building occupants so that they know they're no longer restricted
for their entrances. All right. Senator Reinbold.
So I am going to make a motion to under number 4 that said the legislature will strive to follow the CDC guidance for individuals who test positive and are in close contact or person who tests positive, because saying you...
It's paused. Right. So I'm going to ask you to restate that and just move to amend and the words you want to change instead of a whole narrative.
Move to amend after the word will, strive. Just add the word strive. Under Roman numeral 4.
Right. Does everyone understand the motion before you, which is to add the word strive? It would be the fourth word in Roman numeral 4. Is there any objection?
Object.
Okay. Go ahead and discuss.
Okay, so committing to guidance, that's an absolute commitment. That is basically saying the legislature is now submitting to the federal government CDC guidance. It actually doesn't make much sense to me. I think we are the legislative body, and we need to set our own policies. The CDC guidance has been all over the map on many, many different things, and they've taken complete U-turns on many, many things. We could say we will not, or we will, but I think striving is a very positive and moving us all in the right direction, but it doesn't keep us beholden to the CDC, which has been wrong over and over again.
Other discussion? Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I hear what the Senator is saying, but it just seems to me that the CDC has been the gold standard of all of this, and I would hesitate to change that in any way. I think the way it's written is just fine. We want to keep protecting this building as we have in the past and make sure that there's no outbreaks here. So I'd speak against that amendment.
Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to go ahead and speak for the amendment. I am looking to have the Capitol building open, but I do have to say that that saying that we will follow the CDC guidelines, but then saying that there is personal responsibility is what that we're pacing this on, seems that maybe we should say that we will strive to follow those policies. And I think the question earlier about how the close contact and the testing was handled by a contractor, which got to be very controversial, could come up again if we have locked ourselves into the will.
Any other discussion on the motion to amend? Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is for people who have tested positive. I would think that someone tests positive, they're gonna do everything they can to protect others and protect themselves, and it's really easy to look up to see what the latest guidelines are. So. There is personal responsibility in that. To say that you will strive to follow can mean that you can intentionally fall short but still prove that you strove to follow the guidance. I prefer to keep it as it is. So at this time, I will not be supporting the amendment.
Go ahead and get wrap up. Okay, so basically I can give an example of my sister who stay home mom doesn't.
Please keep your comments to the motion to amend.
This is pertinent. The bottom line is they were telling her what she could and could not do in her own home. She's a homeschool mom that does not have her kids at all, doesn't take one penny. It was very invasive contract tracing and a mass violation of her freedoms, and she basically asked them to please, you know, step back. This, I don't want to be told by the CDC, which some are calling it the cult of public health, to be telling people what to do in their individual homes. So I think it was a positive compromise to strive to follow them, but to be told that we are beholden to the CDC, I think is just wrong.
Other debate? Are we ready to vote?
Ready for the question.
All right. Ms. Kiesel, I believe we are ready for the question. If you'll call the vote on the motion to amend on Roman numeral 4 to add the words following will strive to.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
Speaker Stutes.
No.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
No.
Senator Bishop.
No.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Stevens?
No.
Vice Chair Reinbold?
Yes.
Chair Hannon?
No.
2 yeas and 8 nays.
So with 2 yeas and 8 nays, the amendment fails. And so that brings us back to our proposed policy, unamended, that I objected to initially, and I'm going to remove my objection. And I believe we've had discussion. And are you ready to vote on adoption of the policy? Ms. Kiesel, please call the roll.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
With 10 yeas and 0 nays, we have adopted a new COVID-19 mitigation policy that includes opening the building. Our next item requires that we go into executive session to discuss issues regarding special session per diem. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion for executive session?
I do. I move that the Legislative Council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B3, discussion of a matter that may by law be required to be confidential. The following individuals may remain in the room or online: Jessica Geary, Sante Lesh, Megan Wallace, Emily Nauman, and any legislators not on Legislative Council or any staff of Legislative Council members.
So we'll just take a moment while we do that. ...19 p.m. Speaker Stutes, we've been in executive session. You have a motion for us to consider.
Madam Chair, I do. I move that Legislative Council authorize special session per diem payment retroactive to May 20th, 2021 for the first special session of the 32nd Alaska State Legislature.
I'll object.
All right, and I'll allow people to speak to the motion.
Well, I am going to offer a friendly amendment to say physically present in Juneau after the words members.
Check.
Okay, so there's a motion to amend the motion to add the words physically present in Juneau. Is there any further discussion of that?
Aye.
Speaker Stutes, and then actually Senator Stedman objected, so we'll give him the first call on that.
Oh.
You objected. Them.
Well, when we're called into special session, all our districts are different in geographical size, how many mayors we have, how many school boards, so on and so forth. Some of them are vastly spread out. Just looking across the desk here to Representative Foster or Representative Edgman. They have massive geographical districts. They want to go back to their district during a special session. They'll be in a different community. I don't think it's fair to exclude them, making them having a requirement in Juneau as an example. And there's several examples like that. Also, during a special session, some of us are, depending on the committee assignments and roles that we play, are busy every day. A good portion of the legislature is not. A lot of them go home or go out into their districts and have meetings or what have you, but they have to come back on a moment's notice for meetings here and voting. So that doesn't allow them then to
to seek employment during the special session times, and it's highly restrictive. Also, we want to encourage, in my opinion, we want to encourage a broad age spectrum from a society to come to Juneau and do the civic duty. That would include men and women with families and children. And it's a real hindrance. When you live in Juneau, you have to have housing. The time when you're here, it's hard to get to start with. So you can't just come and go out of an apartment when you want to. You have to rent it and secure it for the full time. And there's no guarantees we're going to be done in 120 days or 180 days or 90 days. We just don't know. So I think it's far too restrictive to require that type of verbiage to be in Juneau. Also, I'd like to add, when you file for per diem, all our records are public. And the media always goes in and checks our travel records, our per diem records, and they know, the ones that are in the building, who's here, who works, who's in and out working, and so on and so forth. So you're going to be, it will be noticed by your constituents in the news media if you're a loafer and you're collecting per diem. It's no secret. And it's up to, I think, individual elected officials and their constituents, that type of relationship, to see and to see that or to ensure that they continually support their elected official. So I think it's too restrictive, Madam Chairman. The amendment should not be adopted. I don't think it's in the best interest of a broad spectrum of elected officials in Juneau, in particular members with families and members with large geographical regions to represent.
Speaker Stutz. Thank you, Madam Chair. I would echo the good senator's comments. And again, I would like to bring to light the fact that when members go home to their local communities, that does not mean they are not carrying out legislative business. And I know, as an example, the Anchorage LIO is very active with committee meetings when members, particularly from the Anchorage Bowl or Matsu in that area, have access to that LIO. And that was exampled by, I could just say off the top of my head, I know that Judiciary had several meetings during this special session out of Anchorage. So I think it's unfair to punish them, so to speak, when they in fact are on state business, carrying out state business. So I think that should be taken into consideration.
Senator Stevens.
You know, I think COVID-19 has really taught us some lessons. If you look at what's happened in the country, you know, many people were forced to work outside their offices, work at home, and don't want that to happen in the legislature too much. But occasionally we have had meetings, committee meetings in which people have been out of this building and in their, either in their home here or their apartment here or at their homes, wherever they are living. So it just seems to me that we have a good honor system. It has worked well in the past. People put down what they, the per diem they think they deserve, and it's reviewed by staff, and the public has a chance to look at it and see if there's any misuse of it. So I think taking out the in Juneau issue is a job well done for us.
Senator, and wrap up.
So basically, I think that public is very disappointed because of the budget and the reduction of PFD. I think we're on very thin ice with the ethics law. The legislature, it is not on the road system, so it is very expensive. So I totally understand, especially during tourist season, it's very, very difficult. But I do believe the intent for per diem is why we are, you know, in Juneau for the most part. And so I'm going to definitely be supporting this, but I'm open for discussions at a future date.
Seeing no further discussion, Ms. Kiesel, can you call the roll call vote on the amendment?
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
Speaker Stutz.
No.
Representative Tilton.
Use the mic.
No.
Representative Tuck?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Stevens?
No.
Vice Chair Reinbold?
Yes.
Chair Hannon?
No.
9 nays, 1 yay.
So by a vote of 1 yay, 9 nays, the amendment has failed. That brings us back to the main motion. I believe we're ready to vote. Question's been called. Ms. Kiesel, please call the roll call vote on the main motion.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Speaker Stutes?
Yes.
Representative Tilton?
Yes.
Representative Tuck?
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold?
No.
And Chair Hannon?
Yes.
1 nay, 9 yays.
By a vote of 9 yays and 1 nay, the motion has passed. The next item on our agenda is a lease extension of the Fairbanks LIO. Senator Reinbold, can I call on you for a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move that the Legislative Council approve renewal number one of the lease for Fairbanks office space in the amount of $206,312.16, I believe it is.
And I'm going to object for purposes of the discussion. And if Mr. J.C. Kessel, who is our procurement officer, can come to the table to speak to the Fairbanks LIO lease extension.
For the record, my name is J.C. Kestel, procurement officer for the Legislative Affairs Agency. And Chair Hannon, thank you. The current lease agreement between Alaska USA Federal Credit Union and the Legislative Affairs Agency for office space in Fairbanks terminates July 31st, 2021. There are 5 lease renewal options available under the lease agreement, each for a 1-year period. The agency is requesting Legislative Council's approval to proceed with renewal number one for the lease for the period of August 1st, 2021 through July 31st, 2022. If Legislative Council approves renewal number one of the lease, this will leave 4 more 1-year renewal options remaining. The renewal period exceeds $35,000 in one fiscal year. Therefore, Legislative Council's approval is required. Attached to the memorandum is additional lease information. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you or other members of the council may have. I'd like to make one small note of a mistake that I made on the lease information sheet. At the top in the occupants section, it lists that there is staff for Representative Tuck at this LIO. However, that staff member is now a staff member for Representative Christ Tompkins. Happy to answer any questions.
Thanks for letting me know. I didn't realize that.
Thank you, Representative.
Senator Stevens.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. When I was chair, and your predecessor in this issue, we dealt a lot with the Fairbanks issue and that office space, and we went back and forth several times about others in Fairbanks who wanted to have offices in North Pole. So at one point, the North Pole office was going to be let go. And then at another point, it was going to be kept. And bring us up to date. What other offices are we occupying in Fairbanks for legislators or for staff?
Chair Stevens, through the chair. The North Pole office is still currently occupied. I believe it's in the process of being moved out of by Representative Prox's office and the staff. And they are relocating into the Fairbanks LIO. There was, after the elections, there was a vacancy in the Fairbanks LIO caused by the representative from District 6 requesting office space within his district in Tok. Left an empty office in Fairbanks, which then allowed for savings to relocate Representative Prox into the Fairbanks LIO. As of June 30th, we will be fully out of the North Pole office space.
Thank you, Casey. Thank you.
Did you call him?
Yes.
Okay. I would just like the Fairbanks folks to weigh in. I didn't have time to get around, and are you pleased with this? Thank you.
I hate moving, so through the chair. I would note that there's an $897 savings in this one-year lease versus the year before with the CPI adjusted going the other way. Only the question I would have to ask is did you consider a two-year option since the numbers were so?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, we did not look at the two-year option because the way the leases are structured, we would have to make an amendment with the landlord and get them to agree to a two-year renewal period. That attempt was not made.
Okay, just one other comment, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Hoping that representatives from Tope would still be there. It would be closer for me to see him there than driving to Tope, but I need to go down there as well. But and also, he'd be closer to Healy and the other end of the district, so but that's fine.
I believe the member from Tope has expressed that there's better hunting further down the road. And Senator Stedman, you were in line.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. If I heard it correctly, Representative Chris Tompkins was going to have a staff member in Fairbanks?
Yes.
And then can I amend this so his whole office goes to Fairbanks? I could have more room.
No, and for the record, I had no idea until I was chair how many people are all over the place. So that was staff stayed. I heard you might be going to work for Representative Stutes. Is that an error? Okay. Anyone else? All right. I am going to remove my objection to the motion on the lease renewal. Ms. Kiesel, can you take the roll call vote on the renewal of the Fairbanks LIO lease, please?
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
And Chair Hammond.
Yes.
10 yeas, 0 nays.
10 yeas, 0 nays. Senator Bishop can stay in his office in Fairbanks. I have nothing further on our agenda to come before us, so we're going to adjourn at 3:34.